Oh, Murrayville, Gainesville.
Welcome to the broadcast at Mount Gilead Baptist Church. We invite you to join us here on this station each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. We also invite you to join us in person at 11 a.m. The church is located at 5332 Highway 52 East, Dahlonega, Georgia. Now join Pastor Les Fuller as he brings God's Word.
Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. I'm going to read a portion of Scripture here out of this amazing chapter. But before that I read, I want to give you an explanation of why I feel that God is leading me this way this morning. For the last 26 years of my life, I have basically been preaching, not all my messages the same way. Not all of them have been, the same kind of style of preaching. The Lord moves on me at different times and different ways to bring forth His Word and His messages. And for the last 26 years, the Holy Spirit has shown me something. I feel like that I have done like many pastors have done in our area. They preach against so many things that becomes their identity of who they are. And there's nothing wrong with that. We do need to stand for something. We do need to have a backbone about us to stand for righteous and holy things. But then on the other hand, I also see that many of God's people do not know who they are in Christ. And I can preach every Sunday and be right about it, preaching against a lot of things, a lot of sins, and I'm going to continue to do that. But I feel like that the Holy Spirit has given me understanding about more of what God's people are seeing and needing in their own spiritual life. And by saying that, what I mean is that there's more to God. There is more to salvation. There is more to Jesus Christ than just telling somebody that they're a sinner. And we need that. We need to have that realization and understanding. But in my whole life, in my whole Christian experience in church, most pastors stay in that one place and they never come out of that and show God's people who they really are in Jesus Christ. And so for the next 26 years, if the Lord will let me and I live long enough and He doesn't come, I want to spend the rest of my life not stopping preaching in sin or about sin, but I want to help people see who they are in Jesus Christ and what they have because they have been saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you this question, do you know that the Lord is doing things in you because you have gotten saved? There's a work that He's doing. In fact, not just one, but there are many works that He is doing by and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know you would agree with me about that, but today I just want to share three things that I see that the Holy Spirit does in us, or Jesus does in us, because we are saved by His power and His grace. So let's look at the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, and we're going to break in at verse number 4. I really wish that I had time to go through this whole chapter today, but we just do not. But we're going to break in at verse number 4, and this is amazing verses, and I want you to read it with me. Listen and follow along. This will be beneficial for you as a child of God. The Apostle Paul says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." Never doubt that. Never doubt the fact that God is rich in mercy. And this is why He says, "For His great love wherewith He loved us." How much does God love us? How much does God love you today? And I'll tell you the definition of that. If you could just look to the old rugged cross, if you could just get to Calvary and look up, you can see the love and His mercy that is toward us today. But God is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Verse number 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." Just in case you're wondering today, that word quickened means to be made alive. It means you were dead, now you've been brought to life. You've been quickened by the power of Christ. And He says, "By grace ye are saved." How are we saved today? We're saved by the grace in the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ, and His love being shed abroad in our heart, in our life, from the moment that a person expresses real faith in Jesus Christ, we're saved by grace. That's how it happens. The grace of God comes into that person's life and that in their heart, and all of a sudden, old things have passed away. All things have become new. If you'll hang in here with me, I'm trying to show you what God is doing in your life and mine as well. Look at verse number 6. It says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, it may not look like much to you today, and it may not look like much to me today in this church, but really, we are sitting together in a heavenly place. We are dwelling together as a body of believers. Those that are watching by live stream are entering in with us, in with their minds and in their hearts to what's going on in this service. The Bible has been opened. We're reading the truth of God's Word. And because we have been quickened by the power of God, the Bible says here that we're sitting together in a heavenly place in Christ Jesus. There is nothing, absolutely nothing more important in my life, in your life, than to get together with God's people and let God feed us, help us, and strengthen us together as believers. Nothing can take its place. And I thank God for what we're experiencing today. We're sitting together in heavenly places. Now notice who it's in. It's not in me. It's not in the deacons. It's not in the choir. But we're sitting together in Christ Jesus. Praise God. That's what we're experiencing right now. You may not feel any different than the way that you, when you walked in those two doors, but if you sit long enough and you listen and you let the Holy Spirit have His right of way in your heart, in this moment, the Holy Spirit will lead you closer to Christ. And the Bible confirms that here. Now let me read one more verse, and then we're going to preach the message about what we have in Christ. Now watch this. Verse number 7, it says, "That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." I'm going to take some advice from Stephen Gerald, something that we got the other night in our Bible study. And I want you to do something. If you've got a pen or you can make a mental note, it's very simple and very easy. I want you to write it verse number 5. I want you to write out past that verse somewhere in your Bible or on a piece of paper. I want you to write the word justification. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Justification. Let's go to the next verse. You go to verse number 6. I want you to write next to that verse, this is what Christ is doing in you because you have been justified. I want you to write the word, this awesome word in our Bibles, the word sanctification. That's what Christ is doing in you presently, and He's never going to stop. It's not going to end. He's going to do that continually until we get home with Him in glory by and by. Amen. And at the next verse, let's look at verse number 7. I want you to take a pen and write this word down. Nobody in this church has experienced this. Nobody in this church today has felt what I'm fixing to show you here in God's Word. But my sweet grandmother, she experienced this the other day when she passed and went home to be with the Lord. I want you to write down the word glorification. These three things is what I'm going to preach on today. The results of being a child of God, of becoming a Christian. I just want to stop for just a minute and say, thank the Lord that I'm saved. Thank God that I got saved as an 8-year-old boy walking down that makeshift aisle there in my home with my family, with my people gathered around me, mom and dad, my grandparents, and the very first person that I said anything to after I got up from praying to be saved, the very first person that I told that I was saved was my grandmother. Now she's in glory in heaven. She asked me, she said, "What happened to you? What happened in that moment?" That's a good question to ask somebody that's just got down praying to be saved. I said, "What happened? Is something changed in you?" And I told her, "Nanny, I just got saved. I got saved. And by the way, it is the will, awesome power and will of God on everybody's life. The moment that you get saved, if you got to confess that word that you are a child of God, we're saved by grace through faith. That is the method of God's salvation. salvation. But he says through confession, salvation is complete by and through the active will of that individual telling the people that they're around, the people that they live with, the people that they work with, confessing Jesus Christ. And all the time I see people come down and they say, well, I got saved, but I don't want to say nothing about it. Listen to me. It is God's will for you to confess a salvation of Jesus Christ. If you've got saving faith in your heart, it will be no trouble whatsoever for you to tell somebody about what God's done. But now because I'm saved, there's some results of that in my life. Let's flip over to the book of Romans chapter number 5. I want to show you something here that I love about the Apostle Paul and his writing. These are the results of justification. Let me define justification to you for just a minute. This is not something that the church does. Justification is not something that the pastor does. It is not something that your parents can do. Justification is what is settled in heaven. There's not a... Listen, some of you today have had to go to the courthouse and pay for a speeding ticket. You got caught. I won't call names today. You got caught for speeding, and there you were guilty as charged. The speed limit was 45, and you were caught doing a super speed or maybe 85 in that 45, and there you had to go pay a fine because you were guilty for the crimes that were committed against you. But justification is this. A little child walks down the aisle, or an adult, and they get in the altar to pray to be saved. And listen, there's nothing they can do about their sin. The results of justification, you can't pay for it. There's no ordinance in the land that can make it right. The law itself will not clear that guilty conscience that's in that person's life and in their soul. But somewhere in that moment when that child is bowed on bended knee and they're praying to be saved, they're praying to God in that moment, and all of a sudden the courts of heaven are listening. There the Son of God, through the aid of the Holy Spirit and God Himself, all of a sudden the blood is applied by faith, saved by grace through faith. The blood is applied in the heart of that individual. And because of that, all of a sudden in the courts of heaven, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, all three in agreement, they say, justified. They say that person is now justified in Jesus Christ. This is my child. This is one that has believed in me. In the courts of heaven, you're justified. Now, I want to say this morning, it didn't look like much when I was bowing to pray to be saved. It didn't look like anything was taking place at all through the eyes of the world. But in heaven, there was a record being made. Praise God. I got saved, and immediately by grace through faith, I was justified in Jesus Christ. And I want to say something this morning. A lot of preachers are preaching wrong and teaching it the wrong way. But listen to me. Listen to what this preacher is saying today. The moment you get saved, you are imputed in your heart, in your soul, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Can Jesus sin? No. Can you sin? Yes. But inside of you, there is something that's righteous and holy that cannot sin, that's imparted to you by and through Jesus Christ. These are the results of justification in the Bible. I love what he says. And let me give you a proof text, all right? I want to make a commitment to Mount Gilead, and everywhere I go from now till heaven, I don't just want to preach. I want to give you a proof text so that you can bank on it. You can rightly divide the Word of God. Some Sundays I may have time to give you two verses, but some Sundays I may not. And I'm expecting you to verify what I say. Now watch this. Here's your word of justification. Verse number 1 of chapter 5, he says, therefore being justified by faith, now this is the result of it, we have peace. The moment a person gets saved, there ought to be inside of them a level of deep, settled, secured peace in their heart. One of the ways that I know I'm saved is because there's peace in a place where there had never been peace before. And he says this is the result, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if all the world around us is falling apart. It doesn't matter if everything around us is burning up. If we have peace with God, we have been justified by grace. And now notice the next verse right here. He says that we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice assurance and hope of the glory of God. This individual that comes to our church every Sunday, and it's not just one, it's many. They come to our church every single Sunday, and this is what they do. They come into the church, they say, well, I think I'm saved. And then they leave the church, and they say, well, I feel a little bit better about where I stand now. But as soon as they get out of the church doors, there's that battle again inside of them. They can never get it settled in their heart and in their soul. The Bible says that we stand in faith with the grace of God, rejoicing in the hope and the glory of God. Can we know where we stand in God? If you've been justified, there'll be peace that follows that because of His justification in our life. We will have peace in our soul. That's what faith does. It brings peace. I feel like preaching today. Thank God. We have peace with God. And I want to throw this in here. This is also another result of being justified. It says in verse number 6, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, you know what you've got today because you got saved. You're justified in heaven. Now let's think for just a minute. Somebody sitting in this church that's never been saved, you're not justified. You're on the opposite end of the spectrum. You're in a position of condemnation before God. You're in a place that if you were to leave this walk of life right now and you were to die and perish today in your sins, you would stand before God condemned in Christ at Calvary, give His life. You're over here by yourself attempting to walk and do the things that you want to do and doing the things that the flesh desires and wants. And then someday soon, you're going to stand before God and you're going to be condemned in your sin. But not so for the child of God. They've surrendered their heart, their life in Jesus. And they're justified in Christ. And on judgment day, you remember preachers used to preach this. A lot of you younger ones won't remember this, but the older ones will. They used to say that when a person dies, that they would be some kind of recording of your life, of everything that you'd ever done wrong. And they're going to expose it, that God's going to expose it there before all of creation there on that day. That's not true. That is not true for the child of God. The Bible says when we stand before God on judgment day, we're not going to stand before God and give an account for our sins. Why? Because by faith we've been saved. We're justified. My sins, you ought to rejoice in what I'm fixing to tell you right here. My sins and your sins were paid for at Calvary in Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm justified because of the cross. You're justified because of the cross, and we're saved by grace because of what Jesus did at Calvary. My sins are paid for at Jesus Christ at the cross, and so are yours. But now, we will stand and give an account for the deeds done in our body. What that means is for the opportunities that we have had, and it will be a shameful time because God's going to show us things we could have done in His name for Him, and we said no, and we will give an account for that. And I thank God today that we're justified in Jesus Christ. All right, let's move on to the next thought today. And this is the one that God is doing. You're justified once, but you're sanctified many times. Let's think about this. In verse number six, the Bible says that He's raised us up together. That's what He's doing. He's raising us up presently, and He's making us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's flip over to the book of Thessalonians right quick. Book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, if I can find it. Let's read this verse here in verse chapter 4. I love this. This gives me security as a believer. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 and 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain. I'm going to stop right there. This is what sanctification is by definition. It is you knowing that there is sin present all around you, but you have the wherewithal, the witness in yourself to be able to see that it is sin. And because you're saved, you're justified, Christ is sanctifying you to become more like Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel the same way today as you did the day that you got saved? Has there been any changes? Any new growth? Any different insight? Any kind of deeper understanding about the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ in your life? And if you're still the same as you have been always, something's wrong somewhere. There ought to be a compelling drive in the heart of every human being that's truly saved to be closer to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, it's the will of God. Even your sanctification, and by the way, we're saved one time, but the progressive work of sanctification to bring us closer and to be more like Jesus Christ will be a lifelong work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Somebody may have a problem in this church with doubt. And if you will get close enough to God and believe Him, read the Word and stay close enough to Him in church, I want to give you a clarification on that, that the Holy Spirit will not leave you in a place of doubt. He can't. It would go against God Himself. Do you realize that sanctification is the will of God for everybody in this church? That He's calling out our sin. He's showing my sin to me every single day. If I have a problem with exaggeration, or if I had a problem with telling a lie, if I had a problem with speaking up too much or not saying enough at the right time, the process of God through the work of the Holy Spirit is to call out that sin in my life. And I've said this before, and I want to say it again. One of the ways that a person can know that they're saved by God's grace is that they feel the Spirit of God dealing with them with their sins. That's right. I know I'm saved today because of the power of God's correction in my heart and in my life. He says that there's a will of God of sanctification. Now notice the sin that he points out here in verse number 4 at the church at Thessalonica. This is evidently the same that day as it is today, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. Now verse 5 he says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. I heard somebody say on the radio this week talking about these verses and sanctification and what that means. Evidently in the days of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians that it was not unusual for a Gentile to have his wife at home, which would be the one that would be his family that he would bring his children into the world in with, but it wouldn't be unusual for a Gentile to have somebody else on the side that they would practice this sin of fornication with. And in this day of great sin and deep sin, that this was what the men and the women were doing in the church. That they were committing this awful act of sin. But the Apostle Paul said, stamp this down, write it down in your heart, that the will of God for our lives is to possess ourselves in sanctification and honor. And that word concupiscence means that there was a lustful spirit inside of that individual. It didn't have to do with just sexual sins, but it also could do with an appetite for ungodly living in that person's life. So can a person be saved and still sin in their life? Yes. But can they be in the will of God and stay in sin? No. Never. It is never the will of God for a person to live in their life. And I've had people tell me this. They say, well, I'm saved. I can do what I want to do now. As long as I ask for forgiveness, it'll be all right. Now listen to me. That is faulty. A young man told me that many years ago. I'll never forget it. He said, I got saved. Now I can do what I want to. And that man continued that way and he ended up in an early grave. If you're truly a child of God, God's not going to tolerate you living just any way. He's going to sanctify you and bring you closer to Him. It is the will of God. Sanctification is God's way of bringing us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, let that process take place today. Don't wait till tomorrow and say, well, I'm going to give up this sin or that sin. You ask the Holy Spirit to give you help and strength in your life. Let me flip over to another place in 2 Thessalonians. We're going to turn there quickly because I got to find an ending place here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. The Bible says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of our Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So we're all chosen in Christ. And God's not going to change His plan or His purpose or His will just because you've got a particular pet peeve of sin in your life. It's not going to change. He's always going to bring us closer to Himself by and through the process of sanctification. Have you ever had the overwhelming desire to just want to get alone and pray? To seek God by yourself? What's happening in that moment? You're being called by the Holy Spirit to be sanctified. Now here's the last one that we're going to deal with in verse number 7. Is this word of glorification. You know one thing I've noticed, Brother Stephen, in our church? Through the years, many of our people that used to be strong and active in our church, and it's not because they don't have the desire to be here, they just physically can't. Their body wears out. Their steps get slow. Their hearing gets hard. Their eyes can't see. And they're just as much a child of God as if they were a new babe born in Jesus Christ. They are. But their body is changing. Glorification is something that I've never experienced. And when does that take place in a person's life? Let me go back to the Scriptures. Let's look at verse number 7 again. The Bible says that in the ages to come. So now, the Apostle Paul lets us see our salvation in verse 5. In verse number 6, he's allowing us to witness sanctification and experience that in our lives. And then in verse number 7, he says, now let's look forward. Let's realize what God is doing. He said that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I know you believe it the way that I do, but we're going somewhere, aren't we? It won't be long. The problems that you and I are facing here won't be felt anymore over there. To be glorified is a word that only should be denoted to the Savior, Jesus Christ. The only understanding I have of glorification comes of the post-resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Himself. We saw that the Savior was eating. People have asked me, will we eat in heaven? The Savior did before He even went to heaven. He was in a glorified body. He was eating fish there by the seashore with His disciples. So we can mark that down, that we'll eat in heaven. Not only that, He had the ability. Really, this is pre-crucifixion, but there we always go back to this in the book of Matthew when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and He was transfigured before them. He had a body that shone like light itself. Now let's get back to the post-resurrection. Our Savior was able to eat and He was able to communicate. People have told me, said, preacher, will my family know me when I get to heaven? I don't know how God does it. And there was a debate of this back when I was starting out in the ministry. I remember the old preachers standing up in the pulpit and they were saying, well, they were debating on when we get our glorified body. And we know the resurrection is going to take place. The dead in Christ are going to arise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But let me say this. Everybody that is passed from this life and gone on to heaven into glory has some kind of body that is pleasing unto the Lord. They know as they are known. They see each other and recognize one another according to the Scriptures. But now notice, the true glorified body that we're going to have will take place on that resurrection morning. And this is what God wants to do for us. The other day, and I guess this is some of the reasons why I'm preaching this morning, when my grandmother used to say, she'd say this to me, she'd say, why has God left me here? I'm ready to go. He's 91 years of age. She said, why has God left me here? And I thought, after the fact, after that she had passed. And Annie could be stubborn. She could be absolutely stubborn. And it's just part of that generation. And in her stubbornness, she'd ask me all these questions, and I'd say, well, Nanny, or I'd want to say, well, Nanny, it's probably because you're so stubborn that he hadn't come got you yet. But no, the real answer is this, that God was doing something in her heart through the process of sanctification to get her ready. You ready and me ready to meet God.
You have listened to Pastor Les Fuller at Mount Gilead Baptist Church. Please join us at 11 a.m. at 5332 Highway 52 East, Dahlonega, or view our live stream on Facebook. May God bless you.
97.5 Glory FM, your family radio station.